You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, here we are in Judges chapter 2. Have you found it yet? I want to start with verse 8. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. I'm going for 120 myself. At least. Why not? You know, why not? I haven't been sick for 50 years. I mean, God's been good to me. I know, I have to be honest, I've been having a little issue. When I sit too long on an airplane or drive too long in a car, my knee starts to have a headache, a knee ache. It's a lying devil, but it gets on this knee and it starts. You know, I was delivered over 40 years ago, I think 40 years ago. Migraine headaches. I've never had a migraine headache since, but this is like a migraine knee ache that gets on my knee. And that's really why we stopped at Terrell at the Shell station, because I wanted to get out and walk around a little bit and pray. Well, I got rid of it, you know, glory to God. You know, it's just the devil trying to tell me I'm old, but I'm not old. I don't receive old. Not even when Joshua lived to be 110 years old. Methuselah lived to be 900 and some years old, 935 or 37 or something like that. But here's Joshua. They buried him on the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, the Mount of Ephraim at the north side of the hill Gash. That's all background for you there. And also the generation that gathered unto their fathers, and there arose a generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor their works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. What in the world? They lost their intimacy with God. They weren't no longer intimate with God and all the miracles that God had done for them. You think about manna in the wilderness. God provided manna every day, 6 days a week. On the sixth day, told him to gather up enough for Sunday, or the seventh, not Sunday, but the seventh day of the week. And roughly, theologians estimate that there might have been 3 million children, adults, at that particular time in the band of the Israelites. That would take 4,500 tons of manna every day. 4,500 tons day after day. Just multiply that by 40 years. You know, and then they started complaining about the manna, and you know, manna was good for them. Manna didn't put extra weight on them. And it was full of vitamins and minerals and everything they needed to keep their bodies strong for the wandering around in the wilderness. And they got tired of it, so then God, they cried out to God for some meat. So out there in the desert, God sends them some quail. You think God can't provide for you? I figured it out that it probably took 90 million quails a month. Where'd the quails come from? I mean, quails don't live in the desert. And really, they came in there like, you know, landed. The Bible talks about landing at their feet. Wow. Saying, eat me, eat me, eat me. Don't ever think God can't provide for you. I know he doesn't grow money on trees, but he can send quail, he can send manna, he can send whatever he wants to you. He fed our family supernaturally back in the early days for 6 months. No food in the house until it was time to prepare a meal. Never went to the grocery store for 6 months. That was wonderful. Glory to God. Amen. Got to stay free of the grocery store. Didn't buy our kids any clothes. Their clothes didn't wear out. Shoes didn't wear out. But at the end of six months, standing on that word of God, God made provision for us. He had a guy in church call up and say, "I'm butchering a cow." He said, "Would you like to have half of it?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd love it." He said, "The only problem is," he said, it's a dairy cow, so the fat's going to be yellow." I said, "I don't care if it's purple. Bring it on." So, you know, it's too late to tell me the Word of God doesn't work. Well, gas is getting so high. Well, you know, when I don't have the money to buy the gas, I can rely on what happened in the past. Just like these people forgot. They forgot the miracles that God had done. But I don't forget when God supernaturally filled my gas tank for over 2 months, driving back and forth to work, 20 miles round trip, going to church on Sunday, doing things, and the gas gauge did not move for 2 months. Don't tell me God doesn't work. It works. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to say I haven't lost my way in Jesus' name. You know, they really came to the place where they didn't know what God could do. But I tell you, God can do anything according to His Word. Amen. So now, where have we come? We've come to a church, not this church, we've come to a general church that is forgotten about the supernatural ability of the living God. Everybody say supernatural ability. Supernatural ability. And, you know, so many churches have turned timid. They've turned seeker-friendly, I guess is the term they call it. What's that? Is somebody that's not expecting the supernatural move of God? You know, we attend, because we're not pastoring at the, well, we kind of pastor over, pastors overseas, but we don't pastor a local church at the present time. So we're helping out in the church in Boring, Oregon. I can't help it. That's the name of the town, Boring. You say, well, why do they call it Boring? Because, well, it's pretty boring. And you know, it's an area about the size of Will's Point, I would guess. And anyway, God led us to this church and to this pastor. And you know, we endeavor to be excited about God when we get in church. And you know, I have compassion on song leaders. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
I mean, they have to stand up here and look at you. Years ago in Houston, Texas, at the old Shamrock Hilton Hotel, they were having a full gospel businessmen's convention, and Pat and I, my wife, attended. And I went down to the service early before her, and Brother John Osteen was down there in the lobby, and he said, I didn't even know he knew me. I was attending church there 3 or 4 weeks, something like that, and I had never met Brother John Osteen. He said, "Gary, come over here." You know, he was like this. You know, he's shorter than I am. And he says, come over here. And I said, so I said to him, "Oh, hi, Brother Osteen." And he said, "Dodie tells me that you can sing." And I said, I thought I was going to throw up. I said, "No." I said, I think maybe Dodie's talking about something else. And he said, "Oh, no, Dodie's never wrong." And I said the best I can do is make a joyful noise to the Lord. I says I can get up on I can wave my arms, I can clap my hands, and you know, and if you know necessary, I can dance when the Spirit of the Lord makes me dance. And so anyway, he said, "Well, that's good because I want you to lead worship next Sunday." Lead worship? Are you kidding me? I'd already been through this and had to fight off migraine headaches for about 3 months every Sunday morning of doing this in this church that I was doing it before, in Assembly of God Church in Colville, Washington. Anyway, I got up there and I did my thing, and I think he finally realized after 3 weeks that wasn't my, you know, wasn't my thing. But it was doing something. It was creating an atmosphere of looseness and freedom in the Holy Ghost. And so he came up to me and he said, "Do you remember which one was A and B, the side rooms there in the old church? Was A over here?" Yeah, the old one. This classroom over, there was a classroom on this side of the auditorium, there was a classroom over on that side. Yeah, that was it. this classroom be? He says, see that classroom over there? And I said, yeah. And he said, what if you were to teach a class in that room? What would you teach? And I said, how to be set free in the Holy Ghost. And he said, all right, why don't you do that next Sunday? And that really was my thing. And, you know, I love the Holy Spirit. I love the moving of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit begins to move, you can expect the supernatural power of God to be unleashed all over the auditorium and all over all the people. And all the people, if they'll receive, can be healed. And all the people can be set free from the bondages of the devil in Jesus' name. And so anyway, I went over there. And 3 weeks, the classroom got too big. People wouldn't all fit in there. And when we came out, there was just a sweep over that church. And I guess maybe somehow God told Brother Osteen, for some kind of reason, that I could be used of him to create an atmosphere that obviously Brother Osteen was looking for. And so, you know, why are you saying, you know, you might ask, why am I saying these things? But it's because I want you to know I'm not about to lose my intimacy with God. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to lose it in Jesus' name. I'm not going to be timid. I'm expecting the supernatural moving of the Spirit. Amen. You know, before you come to church in the morning, you ought to pray. And you ought to believe God, you know, over your pastors and over the orchestra and over anybody who's going to participate in that service, that the total freedom of the Holy Spirit is going to be there. Because that's the people need to see the real. You know, there's a lot of reality shows on TV, but I'm expecting the church one of these days to have its own reality show. You know, where there's miracles that they cannot deny. You know, like a finger growing on a hand, or a hand that's not there all of a sudden being there. Well, I don't know whether that can ever happen or not. Well, I haven't seen that, but I'll tell you, in a meeting over in San Antonio, Texas, about 35 years ago, I was preaching, and a guy that was back three quarters back in the auditorium over on that side, and there was no aisle on that side, so he had to come across this way. He had crutches, and he came stumbling out the aisle, couldn't hardly walk, and walked all the way down, got down the front. And we finally figured out why he couldn't walk, because he had a built-up shoe this high. 9 inches, we measured. 9 inches, and the short leg grew out. So I mean, he was all off kilter with a 9-inch shoe on one foot and the other foot grown out. By the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the atmosphere I'm talking about, where the miracles of God come, and then you know that, and then because you got your reality show, they show it out there on TV, and then people see that, and then, man, they're, you know, the people who need a miracle come to get a miracle. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You know, think of all the knowledge that's been made available to the church in the last 40 years. Amen. Well, I talk about 40 years because that's how long I've been saved. I wish I got saved earlier. I thought I did when I was 12, but that wasn't real. That was one of those head jobs. You know, where you mentally assent that Jesus is your Savior and your Lord. I even got baptized in water, but it was here and not here. Well, how do you know it was here and not here? Because there was no fruit. Fruitless. Fruitless. Everybody say fruitless. You don't be a fruitless Christian. I mean, well, I don't know how you can't be a fruitless Christian. If you're fruitless, you're not a Christian. Amen? You know, I'm talking about the power of God. Like, you know, a while back, there's a church out in Redding, California. It's a great church. And one of the people from the church was in Walmart in Redding, California. And they were at register number 9. And there was somebody at register number 9 that was ill. So they asked if they could pray for that person at register 9. And they prayed for the person. The person got healed. And so the person that prayed told the gal that was the checker there who was watching all this, would you get on the loudspeaker system and say healing is taking place at register 9? And so people started coming to register 9. They got a prayer line on register 9 in Walmart in Redding, California. Well, I could never do that. Well, you can't, because that's what you think. You know, it's like the little engine. You got to get, you know, the little engine was going up the hill. I think I can. And all of a sudden, whoop, I knew I could. Hallelujah. All you have to do is try it. You might like it. Amen. I was in a Safeway store a few months ago, and this kid, little child, maybe 3 or 4, was screaming bloody murder. But I turned this guy, I was in the checkout line, I was just ready to be checked and checked out, I turned to this guy that was next to me in line. I says, "My kids never acted like that." And you know, the mother was over there a ways. I don't know if she heard me or not, but I just said, my child never acted like that." And so he said, "Well, mine never did either." So the checker looked at me and she says, "Well, what did you do?" I said, "I took authority over that spirit in the name of Jesus and prayed over my children that they would not act up when we were out in public." And the Spirit of God was stronger than the spirit of the devil, and they could not act up when they were out there in public. And she says, "Oh, that sounds good." I said, "It is. It's great." I've decided not to be intimidated.
Yeah. Yeah.
What have I got to lose? Nothing, but I got everything to gain.
Amen.
Well, what have I got to lose is a blessing from God because I'm not obedient. That's what I have to lose, really. Amen? So why do church members have such a tough time receiving all that God has for them? Everybody say all.
All.
Well, sometimes I think we start looking at the world a little more than we should for what the world can supply in order to be able to help us with the different problems that we have in our life. Now, just a real neat Bible example, 2 Kings chapter 2. Of a situation where they didn't rely on it's chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. This is where they decided not to rely on the local axe shop. Verse 1, "And now the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight or too small for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he said, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell in the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Well, where did it fall? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it thither, and the iron did swim." The iron. Iron. Everybody say iron.
Iron.
Iron did swim. Therefore he said, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand, and he took it. Now let me ask you, if you're out there and you're chopping down a tree and the axe head flies off the axe and flies out there in the lake, would you cut down a twig from a tree and then wave it over the water? And know in your heart of hearts that wherever the axe head fell, it was going to come up out of that water and it was going to float? And not only float, but float over close enough you're going to be able to pick it up? Come on now. What would your response would have been? Well, probably, oh well. Or maybe we ought to take up a collection and everybody pitch in and help this poor guy so that he has enough money to go buy an axe to pay back, to give an axe back to the guy he borrowed it from. You know, that's a possibility, amen? Maybe you could go back to the guy that you borrowed it from and say, "Listen, I don't have the money to pay for that, to buy a new axe now, but as soon as I get the funds together, I'll buy a new axe." Now listen now, there's nothing really wrong with any of that. But God does have a way when there seems to be no other way. And that way is I guess you could call it the way of a miracle. I have nothing against doctors. I'd go to one if God told me to go to one. I went to one about 4 or 5 years ago. because I had to get some medicine, had to get some shots to go overseas. And so, you know, I went, and it was nice, and I was able to witness to him. He wanted to know what I did to keep from being sick, so I told him. I said, I talked to my body parts. And I said, I start at the top of my head, and I go down to the soles of my feet, and I talk to all, you know, every organ that I can remember, and I talk to him, talk to the heart, the liver especially, and the gallbladder and appendix and brain and ears, eyes, nose, and throat and veins and arteries and all that. And just tell them to be, you know, to be like the designer designed them to be. You know, he didn't think too much of it. He thought it was kind of neat. But when he got my results back, then, and I had to go back in for the next appointment, he said, "Now let's go over this again." He said, "I'm only 40 years old, and you are, I think it was about 65 or 66 at the time." He says, "Let's say 66. You're 66, and." He said, nobody your age has these in this range. I said, well, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I'll tell you again what I do. So I went through it again, and he says, I am really going to have to try that. And I says, no more than try it. You're going to have to believe it and stand on God's word and not let doubt come into your mind. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
No. You know, kind of helps to eat right. And I haven't always done that, but I'm when I get my head together, then I work on eating right. You know. I guess I'll just have to give a donation today for the bake sale because I don't need any. I don't need any cake or pie Hey, no, I know lots of people do. They love it, you know. And I love it too, but I don't love it now, you know, for a while. I don't want to put a damper on your base of. I didn't mean to do that, Lord.
Buy it and give it to the neighbor.
Yeah, buy it and give it to the neighbor. Yeah, push it off on them. Amen. we have to guard ourselves that the natural things of life do not outweigh the things of God. Because when we do, it's very easy to act naturally. You know, because the government has provided it for us, we do now have health insurance. I just haven't got around to going to the doctor yet. But I will, you know, because it's, you know, free. Now listen, I'm not against doctors, I'm not against medicine. I just don't take any. I mean, there's nothing wrong with not. I mean, you know, if you don't have your head wrapped around that by the stripes of Jesus you are healed, then you need to do whatever you need to do to keep yourself alive until you can wrap it around your head.
Right.
You know, I would never tell anybody to not take medicine.
Right.
I'd never tell anybody not to go to a doctor. I would go to one myself if the Holy Ghost told me to go. And I am going to go one of these days because, it's free. and I get a chance to witness because they'll say, well, you're in remarkable shape for a man your age, whatever that means, you know, your age. Like, I just don't really feel like that age, whatever age that is. 70. Amen. Are you glad you came to church today? Man, we're almost out of time. Praise God. Let's go. Hurry over to Psalm chapter 18. I just want you to know, the axe head is a good example, but there's so many other examples in the Bible when there didn't seem to be another way, God made a way. You know, your situation is never hopeless. That's the point. It's never hopeless. You know, there was a lady when we were a pastor in Eagle Mountain Church. You know, there is some word that goes out from that place. You know. If you don't believe it, go to a minister's meeting on the third night. You'll find out how much word how much word is in that place. But anyway, you know, word goes out. Well, anyway, I prayed for this lady. I was a pastor of the church at the time. I prayed for this lady, and she had lung cancer, and she was scheduled not to be able to recover from this lung cancer. We prayed for her. She went back to the doctor, and she was healed. Yeah, the doctor verified that she was healed. Well, a few months later, I got a call on the telephone from one of her family members, asked me if I'd go to, it was a, nursing home, if I go to the nursing home and pray for her. So I go to the nursing home, and I walk in. She came to church kind of sporadically, and you know, church is, you know, growing and everything. So I couldn't know about every person that was there. She came sporadically. But anyway, she was at the nursing home. When I go to the nursing home, she's watching General Hospital. And she's smoking a cigarette. Come on. You want God to do something for you? You got to have some sense. And, General Hospital is not for the believer. It'll rob you of your faith. Like Grey's Anatomy or all that stuff. It's just, Dr. House. Who in the world would ever want to go to Dr. House? And that show right there would freak me out from ever going to a doctor. Come on. You know? And so, there's just certain things that you need you need to use your mind that God created you with. You know, and so anyway, I went to pray for her, but I felt in my heart of hearts that I wasn't going to be able to get her to receive the prayer of faith. But I went ahead and prayed anyway, and she died. You know, it wasn't my prayer that killed her. Because I prayed the prayer of faith, and I laid my hands on her, you know, and did what the Bible requires me to do. But she lost her mind. Well, I mean, she didn't become insane or anything, but she was out of her mind. Watching General Hospital, and as the world turns, having been healed in church a few months earlier, got a victory report from the doctor, and then it came back on her. And what does she do? Came back on her because she didn't give up her cigarettes. That's what happened. Always remember, it's the cigarette that smokes and the person's a sucker. That's just the way it is. Praise God. You know, if you smoke, there's deliverance for you. I'm not, you know, if you smoke, you know, I'm not going to come up to you and say, well, you, whatever, whatever, whatever. I'm going to pray for you. Because I know it doesn't do any good for you. And I know people, you know, some things are hard to give up. I mean, you really have to, know who you are in Christ. You really have to have a desire to really give it up. And it's a struggle. I understand that. And, but we're here for you. We're here to believe with you. All right, Psalm 18, I guess this will be our journeying scripture here. Has anybody got anything so far that can help you in some area of your life? In Jesus' name. Somebody wave, at least one person wave a hand. Oh, good, all right. Make me feel good, hallelujah. I don't mean to do this. I mean, but your pastor teaches you line upon line, precept upon precept. If I could, I would, but I can't. And I know he puts the word of God in you, and it's good to come back every year and do a checkup and see that he's still on the word, and he is, because there's not many of my used to be friends that are on the word anymore, and the reason I call them used to be is because they don't like to return my calls. You know, because you're not going to talk to me very long, and before we're here. You know, I mean, if you're going through something, then we're going to go to the Word. It won't do you any good for me to feel sorry for you, or to say, we'll just hope it's going to turn out all right. You know what? We're not going there. You know, I thought I was a great pastor. And I believe I was, but, you know, people did not like to come for counsel. And the reason being because, you know, I'm not in for these 14 lessons on, or 14 times, like you go to a psychiatrist and you go to the psychiatrist for 14 or 15 times till you finally start getting better. No. We're going to find out, we're going to pinpoint in the first 5 minutes what the problem is. And then we're going to go to the Word, and we're going to find out what the Word of God says. Well, because the answer is in the Word. There is an answer in the Word. I mean, you know, there's lots of great books out. I don't put down any book of Christian books I'm talking about now. There's lots of great books. I read them. You know, not a whole lot of, you know, I like to read this. There's the good books, but you know, there is an answer in the Word of God. There's an answer for you in whatever thing that you're facing. If it's finances, if it's health, if it's worry, if it's fear, if it's frustration, if it's anxiety, if it's anger, whatever it is, there's answers in the Word. So, you know, I take people to the Word. Well, a lot of people didn't like that. I had one time tell me, well, you just don't have any grace. And I said, well, define grace for me. Well, it was her definition of grace was a serenity prayer. Man, if I go into a Bible bookstore and see one of those on the wall, I want to take it off and turn it backwards. God, give me the grace to what? How's that thing go? I'm trying to erase it from my memory, but it's got, give me the grace to accept the things I cannot change or whatever. You know, it sounds so wonderful. No. Jesus said that if I have the faith of God, I can speak to the mountain and command the mountain to move, and it will move in Jesus' name. That's what the Bible says. So whatever the problem, the mountain is in my life. You know, the church we attend a while back, he was the alternate worship leader, and he was leading worship, and he picked out a couple songs that are just not up my alley. Pastor Michael knows about that. But anyway, you know, it was never, I mean, this is the worst of the worst. I can't even remember what the songs were. So anyway, the pastor, after this is over, the pastor taught, well, he went up to teach, and the pastor took authority over discouragement. So after church, I put my arms around pastor, and I said, singing those songs discouraged me. But I said, would have discouraged me, but I didn't sing them. I started singing in other languages. And he says, you know, he said, I talked about other song leader. He did, because I talked to him about that song leader. And so he talked to him, but he says, I haven't talked to him yet. Well, evidently he must have talked to him, and something must have happened, because that alternate song leader turns the other way when he sees me. And I don't know how he knows, because I know pastor wouldn't have told him who said anything, but he must know. But it was so bad. Now, you know, it's like the song, you know, it's really a good song about he can move a mountain. I went and told pastor, he says, you know, beyond that, not only he can move a mountain, but I can move one. And you can, he says, yeah, I know I can. We got a good pastor that just, you know, it says, believe this or not, it's Assembly of God Church. And he loves Brother Hagin, and he loves anything I give him. And I'm there to give him whatever I can to give him, you know, to encourage him. You know, and the church is really changing. He changed up Sunday night. He still has Sunday night service. So he's changed up Sunday night service to intercessory prayer. And so we have intercessory prayer, but it always ends up somebody needs prayer for something, and somebody gets healed of something. Like, you know, I mean, like ringing in the ears that there's no cure for. This guy had it for 3 months and prayed for him for ringing of the ears, and he got healed. Praise God. First time, he said he can't. I mean, time's running out. He couldn't sleep at night. He couldn't sleep more than 2 or 3 hours, and he'd wake up and it was ringing in the ears. And another guy, he couldn't, you know, he was having, his leg wouldn't stop hurting, and he got healed. And I don't know what, some woman's leg grew out, you know, a couple inches, and, you know, just different things on the Sunday nights. So, no, you know, just it's too late to tell me, God doesn't work today. He's not, but He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes. All right, did you find Psalm 18? We've got to close with this. I don't have time to go through all this, but this is a prayer of David, and it's David calling upon the Lord. He was in a tough place. But now he's going to testify what happened out of that tough place. Verse 19, He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. You know, I taught at the church we attend week before last, I guess. Yeah, week before last. And I used this verse of Scripture. And I asked them if God was pleased with their praise. Well, no, I don't want to get too excited because I brought some friends with me today. And or somebody, so and so lives next door, and they go to that church, and I don't know, you know, if I can get my hands up.
you know, very far. And I don't, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or anything by, you know, getting too, you know, wild or anything, or, you know, dancing or anything. So, you know, so worried about what they're going to think instead of worrying about what God's going to think about your praise. God in Revelation, and it says that the praise that's going on in the heavens is as the mighty peals of thunder and the coming together of many rivers. And then God has the nerve to say, could you turn the volume up?
Amen.
God loves your praise, and he said he delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. Now get this. According to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me. I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Yeah, free of sin. I kept myself free of sin. Isn't that a good message? That'll preach. So, the question is God pleased with your faith? We're talking about, you know, creating an atmosphere for miracles in the church, in your home, in the grocery store, at the hospital, at the doctor's office, wherever you are. Somebody told my oldest daughter, or not didn't tell her, but told at least three other people, that my daughter is just too Christian. What in the world does that mean?
Hallelujah.
How in the world can you be too Christian? I thought when my daughter was telling me, I went in the other room and I said, turn it on her, Lord. Turn it on her. Turn her into a wild woman for Jesus. Hallelujah. She is pretty bold, but man, she's going to be bolder now because, man, I'm believing God. Oh, man, she's just awesome. Praise God. How can you be too Christian? What are you afraid of? You think let God be your source. Let God be your supply. You know, ask yourself a question once in a while. Does God please with the way I'm walking out my salvation?
Amen.
I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. How about how much time you're spending in that sweet communion with Him?
Yeah.
That's one I'm working on. I kind of, you know, sometimes I get so busy doing some busy stuff that I forget about my sweet, as much sweet communion time as I would like to have with the Lord. What is sweet communion time? Just sitting there worshiping Him and, you know, putting on a tape maybe and listening to it or opening up the Word and letting, you know, sometimes I think, well, what does that mean? And God, you know, God will begin to reveal what that means to me. That's what sweet communion is. You know, you really have to put the Lord in your schedule.
Yes.
You know, you have to schedule Him in. Well, maybe you need to get up a little extra hour, not an hour, maybe, try 15 minutes earlier in the morning. You know, if you try an hour, you probably fail. But, I mean, if you try 15 minutes, you might, you know, after a while, you might get used to that 15 minutes. Might be so good, you might want to stretch it out to half an hour. I can never do that. I'm just so tired. I'm so tired. Listen, you can't stay tired praising God. I mean, if you're really praising God, you can't stay tired because God's going to refresh you. You know, you need to lift glorious praise and worship to somebody. Say, amen.
Amen.
Glorious praise and worship to God.
Amen.
Can you say amen again?
Amen.
Now, my final question, this is not my final question of this message because I'll have to come back again sometime and preach, the other three parts of it. But anyway, praise God, praise God, praise God. You know, we could go to, you can say, well, you know, a lot of those examples about God's supply was in the Old Testament, and, you know, they really needed it. Well, yeah, how about in the New Testament when Paul and Silas are in prison? And so they're in prison, and so they started praying and praising God at midnight. Do you, I mean, would you really feel like praising God when you're in shackles? And probably been beaten and thrown into the worst part of the prison. And they were praising God so loud
that all the prisoners heard them. Isn't that amazing? Well, you know, that was that. All those things have passed away. No, if I had time this morning, I'd bring you up to date.
Yeah.
On some miraculous things. So anyway, all of a sudden, my brothers and sisters, all of a sudden, the chains fell off. And not only off of Paul and Silas, but also off all the prisoners. They just broke apart. I don't know if it was an earthquake. I don't know what it was. Shook the prison. And the jailer got so upset that he wanted to kill himself. Because the prisoners were out. But they stayed there. That takes some confidence. After, you know, they didn't go running out. So anyway, as a result of that, this jailer, after being preached to, got saved. And thus began the church at Philippi. Isn't that amazing? Glory to God.